flattened buildings with no food and water supplies. That's the situation in Gaza as Israel continues its nonstop strikes and shelling while tightening the siege on the territory. 13 Palestinians have been killed in the latest aerial attacks targeting a residential building in the southern city of Khan Yunis. 8 Palestinian children were also killed in another Israeli airstrike that hit a coastal road in Gaza. Israeli warplanes earlier bombed the Buraij refugee camp in the center of Gaza's city, killing around 24 Palestinians. The war is now in its 28th day. The number of Palestinians killed has topped 9,200. Children make up over 40% of the death. More than 2,300 people have also been injured. The humanitarian situation is getting worse, with hospitals being under immense strain. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has carried out a counterattack on Israeli forces in northwest of Gaza City. This comes as the regime is pressing ahead with its ground offensive on the strip. The armed wing of Hamas said its forces fired salvos of mortar shells, destroying 6 Israeli tanks and 2 armored personnel carriers. Al-Qassam brigades added that a number of Israeli troops were killed and injured. As a result, the brigades also said Israel's military death toll is much higher than what the regime has announced. The group has warned that Gaza will be, in its words, the curse of history for Israel. It added that the regime's forces entering the besieged territory will go home on, quote, black bags. The Israeli military claims that its troops have now encircled Gaza City. It says 17 troops have so far been killed in the ground operation. The World Health Organization calls for speeding up of aid deliveries to Gaza, which is grappling with the severe humanitarian crisis caused by Israel's relentless airstrikes on civilians in the besieged territory.
We immediately established a warehouse, and the team is working against all odds and risk to their security to deliver life-saving medical supplies to the hospital. The WHO supplies that came into via Rafah have been immediately distributed to 7 hospitals all over Gaza. Fortunately, these essentially needed supplies are merely a drop in the ocean of needs. WHO calls for an urgent accelerated access for humanitarian aid, including fuel, water, food, and medical supplies, into and throughout the Gaza Strip.
The Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah is delivering a speech as the Israeli war on Gaza rages on. Let's try and go over in summation what was just mentioned by the Secretary General of the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah. First of all, he expressed his sorrow and sadness for the martyrs of Gaza as the Israeli onslaught continues. He said that no word can express the greatness and steadfastness of the people of Gaza and the West Bank. He added that the entire world knows of the suffering of the Palestinians for the past 75 years, and the people of Gaza have been suffering under an all-out Israeli blockade for around 20 years. Nasrallah slammed the international community for ignoring Israeli crimes against Palestinians, and he said that the Al-Aqsa flood was carried out by the resistance fighters independently, and it proved that the Palestinian resistance is independent of other regional issues, and that the operation also proves that leaders and fighters of the resistance make their own decisions. He also added that the operation Al-Aqsa flood will have great impact on the future of the Israeli regime. And he added that the Israelis are weaker than a spider web. Seyed Hassan Nasrallah said there's no other choice but to resist the occupier enemy, and sacrifices must be made in that regard. The Israelis have announced goals against the resistance that it cannot achieve, and the resistance always forces the Israelis to back down from those goals. He also added that the so-called strongest army in the region only bombs civilians, and this conflict has once again showed the barbaric nature of the Israeli regime. Palestinians in the West Bank also face Israeli aggression as the regime's forces carry out raids on different parts of the occupied region. On a daily basis, at least 9 Palestinians have been killed in the latest wave of attacks in the West Bank. 5 lost their lives in an Israeli raid in the Jenin refugee camp north of the occupied territories. 17 were wounded as well. Locals say the regime's forces used live rounds during the raid. 4 more Palestinians were also killed in attacks near Al-Khalil and East Al-Quds. At least 144 Palestinians have lost their lives in the West Bank since October the 7th. That's when Israel began its onslaught in the besieged Gaza Strip. Tensions have also been on the rise ever since in the West Bank as well.
Palestinians have held a general strike to express their condemnation. The shutdown brought busy life to a standstill, but protests and demonstrations were already organized all across the main cities. In one of those rallies, protesters marched to the headquarters of the United Nations in Ramallah, demanding an immediate stop to the genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians in Gaza.
These nonstop massacres in Gaza and the latest committed against the Jabalia refugee camp are a failed attempt to weaken the Palestinian resistance and break people's steadfastness. Fighting is continuing, and the resistance groups are causing severe losses to the Israeli forces. And our people in the West Bank are also fighting the Israeli military measures and brutality.
We have the same occupation, and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist, and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
On the other hand, Israeli regime has escalated its military operations and incursions all over the occupied territories. Four Palestinians were killed on Wednesday. Three of them were martyred in Jenin during a military raid to the city and its refugee camp, and the fourth was killed in Tul Karim. The Israeli military has also used drones during this recent raid to Jenin. This assault has caused severe damage to a number of buildings and to the alleys. During the funeral procession of the martyrs, identified as fighters from Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, mourners vowed to continue fighting and avenge the killing of Palestinians in Gaza and here in the West Bank.
We have bid farewell to three martyrs, leaders of the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades, who have been killed during the military raid on Jenin. There's a clear message sent by this criminal Israeli military that is targeting all the Palestinian resistance groups and not a specific one. All resistance groups are united in facing the Zionist war cabinet and fighting its offensive.
So far, 130 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank, and over 2,000 have been wounded. According to the Palestinian Prisoners Society, almost 1,800 Palestinians were detained during the daily raids. And for the third week, entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities have been blocked by military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates, preventing movement between them amid an increased Israeli crackdown. Palestinians say the heavy crackdown is meant to prevent them from engaging in different forms of anti-Israel activities. With the escalation of Israel's aggression on Gaza, the regime's military has also been stepping up violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Despite that, Palestinians in the West Bank say they would not back up from supporting their brothers and sisters in the Gaza Strip. Mona Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Chile has renewed its concerns over the Gaza war, with President Gabriel Boric telling his U.S. counterpart that what's happening there is unacceptable.
I told President Biden of our concerns on what is happening in the Gaza Strip. The number of civilian deaths grows day by day. What's happening in Gaza is simply unacceptable and violates international humanitarian law.
Boric also talked about the captives held by the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, and demanded their release. He met with President Joe Biden in Washington. The meeting took place at a time when Biden is under growing pressure inside and outside the U.S. for failing to make Israel stop its war on Gaza. Earlier this week, Chile joined a chorus of international criticism against the regime's relentless bombardment of Gaza, recalling its ambassador to Tel Aviv. Another South American country, Colombia, took a similar move. Also elsewhere in the continent, Bolivia has cut its relations with the Israeli regime. International outcry against Israel's brutal strikes on Gaza continues to mount, with large-scale demonstrations across the globe.
Hamas!
Palestinians took to the streets of Ramallah, the occupied West Bank, voicing support for the people in Gaza. Similar rallies also took place in Jordan's capital, Amman, and the Turkish city of Istanbul. Those are the latest in pro-Palestine protests. Numerous rallies have been held in Europe, Canada, the U.S., and elsewhere ever since the Gaza war began nearly a month ago. People are outraged at the rising civilian toll in Gaza, as well as inaction to bring an end to Israeli brutalities.
Outraged Syrians and Palestinians gathered in the Yarmouk refugee camp in Damascus to support the people of Gaza against the brutal atrocities committed by the Israeli regime.
We have gathered today in Yarmouk camp to send a message of solidarity to our resilient brothers and sisters in Gaza who are bravely paving the way back to Palestine with their blood. We assure them that they are not alone. The Arab peoples, the resistance front, and the free people of the world stand with you.
We will liberate every part of Palestine by God's will. We express our gratitude to Syria and Mr. Bashar al-Assad for supporting us and taking an honorable stance. We tell everyone that our people will not die by the grace of God.
Protesters voiced their anger towards Western powers that have been supporting Israel's war crimes, specifically the recent massacre in the Jabalia refugee camp, which violates all laws, norms, and human ethics.
What happened in Jabalia and previous Israeli massacres provide clear evidence of regional and international collusion, but Gaza will not be left alone.
Demonstrators rejected the Israeli displacement projects and emphasized their absolute faith in Gaza's victory over injustice, pledging to defend Palestine and its nation's sanctities.
Cruelty, savagery, and monstrosity are words that no longer suffice to describe the Israeli criminality. But Syrians completely recognize these crimes, and once again, they confirm their resolute support for Palestine and the resistance. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Just 90 minutes before a highly anticipated march across Paris last weekend against Israel's war atrocities in Gaza, local authorities suddenly revoked the permit for the protest. That gave police legal justification to use a tool of political repression not seen since the Yellow Vests. Massive fines. Out of perhaps 4,000 people, 1,400 protesters were given fines of 135 euros each. That's a total of nearly 200,000 euros extracted from the pockets of peaceful demonstrators, many of whom did not even know about the last-minute banning of the protest. Some of the fines may be dropped due to the controversial cancellation, but the initial figures were widely relayed by the media.
The fines are an obvious instrument being used to dissuade people from supporting Palestine publicly. However, many activists say they will never stop protesting Israel's attempted genocide against Gaza. I think the government is finally realizing this and that they just can't give such a huge number of fines over and over.
The use of mass fines is the latest example of how France has effectively criminalized public support of Palestine and also silenced dissent against what is widely perceived as one-sided support for Tel Aviv, despite war crimes which have shocked the world.
Ne sont que un des éléments.
We must recall that this is just one element of the French government's absolute support for Israel. We saw Macron recently suggest that the West's anti-ISIL coalition actually be used against the people of Gaza. He also sought a nationwide ban on all pro-Palestinian marches, has constantly waved a false flag of anti-Semitism, tried to ban the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign, and on and on.
Demonstrations against Israeli atrocities have effectively been banned nationwide since October 7th, with only two legal protests allowed thus far in the capital. Two protests are planned in Paris later this week, but many say it's difficult to trust that the government will consistently honor the rights to freedom of assembly and freedom of speech when it comes to Palestine. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
The Pakistani parliament has called for an immediate end to the violence in Gaza, strongly condemning Israel's aggression against Palestinians. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi has more to tell in this report from Islamabad.
Pakistani lawmakers have voiced their concerns over the ongoing Israeli atrocities in Palestine, urging for a swift resolution and the provision of humanitarian aid to those affected. While calling for an immediate ceasefire, the Pakistani MPs reaffirmed the need for international bodies to uphold justice and support the establishment of a free Palestine.
The war on Gaza has entered into a dangerous phase. The Arab world should come forward and the UN should take strict action to end Israeli attacks on innocent Palestinians, and the United Nations should use its powers for the implementation of its resolution for a free Palestinian state.
The senators unanimously denounced the dual standards employed by certain Western powers, urging for concerted international efforts to achieve an unconditional ceasefire and establish a free Palestinian state. The Pakistani politicians also criticized the increase in Western funding to Israel, highlighting the need for a more principled approach to the conflict. The parliament also adopted a unanimous resolution condemning Israel's willing violation of the Geneva Convention and the UN resolution on Palestine.
The call for a ceasefire and humanitarian relief by Pakistani parliament underscores the importance of addressing the root causes of the conflict and finding a sustainable solution that respects the rights and dignity of the innocent Palestinian people. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
And the Yemeni army spokesperson has given a televised address to confirm that Yemeni drones and ballistic missiles will continue to target Israel if the regime's acts of aggression on Gaza continue.
The spokesperson for Yemen's armed forces has officially confirmed that Yemen has entered the war against Israel. In a televised TV address, General Yahya Sari stated that the Yemeni army launched a series of ballistic missiles and drones that targeted numerous locations in Israel.
Our armed forces launched a large batch of ballistic missiles and a large number of drones at various targets of the Israeli enemy. The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that this operation is the third operation in support of our oppressed brothers in Palestine, and confirmed that we will continue to carry out more qualitative strikes with missiles and drones until the Israeli aggression stops.
According to the military spokesperson, the United States, along with some Arab states, have allowed Palestinians in Gaza to suffer daily massacres and a strangling blockade. He condemned these Arab states for refusing to mobilize their armies in order to save Palestinians.
The Arab and Islamic world were supposed to mobilize and protect the children and women of Palestine. This is a moral, Islamic, and humanitarian obligation. In response to this, the Yemeni army had no choice but to answer the call of the Yemeni people and all free people. With our faith in Allah, Yemen's armed forces decided to act now in order to support the Palestinians who are experiencing this historic form of oppression.
The declaration of war leaves Yemen to become the first Arab nation to declare war on Israel since the 1967 war. The 6 days of war ended with Israel expanding its occupation over more Palestinian territories. Muslims and Arabs across the region are praising the Yemeni army's missile and drone attacks against Israel. The question now is, will other Arab nations take action to try and bring an end to the genocide in Gaza, or will they remain silent? Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible?
راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran. کتاب
In the limelight.
In Britain, parents of babies who have died or been harmed as a result of poor care are demanding a public inquiry into repeated failings in the National Health Service maternity units. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story and tells us more. Families whose babies have died or been harmed at the hands of the National Health Service have come together to call for a full statutory inquiry into England's maternity services. The Maternity Safety Alliance, made up of bereaved families, has written to Steve Barclay, the Health Secretary, asking for an England-wide investigation in the wake of repeated maternity scandals. It comes after the Care Quality Commission says 65% of maternity services are now regarded as inadequate or require improvement for safety. Reports into failings at Morecambe Bay, Shrewsbury and Telford and East Kent have painted a damning picture of poor care and concerns over the culture on National Health Service maternity wards. Donna Ockenden, who led the review at Shrewsbury and Telford, is currently leading an independent review of maternity services at Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust. Parents in Leicester have also called for an independent review into maternity units following the deaths of their babies. Now the Maternity Safety Alliance has written to Health Secretary Steve Barclay, setting out the case for a national inquiry. It is signed by parents including Emily Barley, whose daughter, Beatrice, died in 2022 at Barnsley Hospital after staff mistakenly monitored her heart rate instead of her baby's. The letter is also signed by Jack and Sarah Hawkins, who were instrumental in bringing failings at Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust to light following the death of their daughter, Harriet. And James Titcombe, National Patient Safety Campaigner, whose son Joshua died at Morecambe Bay. The letter said, "We're writing to you to demand a full statutory public inquiry into maternity safety in England. Our babies are too precious to keep on ignoring the reality that despite a raft of national initiatives and policies implemented in the wake of investigations and reports, systemic issues continue to adversely impact on the care of women and babies. Far too much avoidable harm continues to devastate lives in circumstances that could and should be avoided. Fundamental reform is needed. Over and over again we hear that lessons will be learned, and yet those same failings continue. And they don't just continue in isolated corners of the NHS, they're present to some degree in almost every NHS trust in England, with the most serious kind of avoidable harm occurring everywhere. The families argue that only a judge-led full statutory public inquiry can command the confidence of families and others involved and come to independent conclusions free of party politics. Ms. Barley told the Press Association news agency, "We think the investigations and local-level inquiries that have taken place are great and really useful. The problem for us is that the failings in maternity are much broader than these local units. They're not isolated problems, it's a system-wide problem. We think we need a whole system analysis to really understand what's going on and how it can be fixed. And we want that to include not just what's happening in hospitals, but what's happening around it as well. So at the regulators, in terms of governance, the way we learn from incidents, we think all of it needs to be looked at again. The local investigations have been good, but they haven't fixed the problem. We're seeing investigations years apart that are finding pretty much the same thing." Ms. Barley said the culture within the National Health Service was one of the biggest issues, including the focus in NHS Trust on reputation management. Ms. Barley added, "There was a kind of cultural acceptance of failure and inevitability, even when it's avoidable." The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Parents of babies who have died or been harmed as a result of poor care are demanding that ministers order a public inquiry into repeated failings in National Health Service maternity units. They want Steve Barclay, the Health Secretary, to set up a judge-led statutory inquiry to investigate recurring problems in maternity services, which cost the NHS in England £2.6 billion a year in damages. Babies are still being damaged and dying, despite previous inquiries into maternity scandals at Morecambe Bay, Shrewsbury and Telford, and East Kent NHS Trust recommending changes. The National Health Service's failure to improve maternity safety is so alarming that a public inquiry is needed to finally ensure that women and babies no longer come to harm, the families say. The Maternity Safety Alliance, a group of relatives of newborn babies who have died due to lapses in NHS childbirth, warned that scandals will continue unless such an inquiry is held. "Our babies are too precious to keep on ignoring the reality that despite a raft of national initiatives and policies implemented in the wake of investigations and reports, systemic issues continue to adversely impact on the care of women and babies. Far too much avoidable harm continues to devastate lives in circumstances that could and should be avoided. Fundamental reform is needed," they said in a letter urging the Health Secretary Steve Barclay to intervene. The letter's signatories include Emily Barley, whose daughter Beatrice died at Barnsley Hospital last year after staff mistakenly monitored her mother's heart rate rather than hers. It has also been signed by Jack and Sarah Hawkins, who have played a key role in highlighting serious weaknesses in maternity care at Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust since their daughter Harriet died there. The families are horrified that despite countless initiatives, mothers and babies are still suffering and dying due to the same failures in care that we have experienced. They say, "Over and over again we hear that lessons will be learned, and yet those same failings continue to occur." And they don't just continue in isolated corners of the NHS. They're present to some degree in almost every NHS trust in England, with the most serious kind of avoidable harm occurring everywhere, the letter says. The letter adds that barriers to ensuring that every mother and every baby receives safe care have so far proved insurmountable, with problems in culture, leadership, inequality, service structures, education and training, accountability and governance seemingly intractable. Paul Whiting, the chief executive of patient safety charity Action Against Medical Accidents, backed the family's plea for an inquiry that would probe every aspect of maternity care across England. Citing the £2.6 billion in compensation that the National Health Service pays out annually for failings in maternity care, Paul Whiting said, "Behind that vast sum of money are countless tragic cases of injured babies that will need care for the rest of their lives. Something is broken when the NHS is paying out so much money in compensation for just one area of medicine, and an inquiry to look into why is now overdue." 2 weeks ago, the Care Quality Commission warned that almost two-thirds of maternity units in England were unsafe and that maternity care was getting worse and not better. The local newspaper, the Shropshire Star, has also covered the same story. Two separate campaigns have been launched with the same aim, to persuade the Health Secretary, Steve Barclay, to respond to calls for a national probe on maternity units. Shropshire campaigners Rhiannon Davis and Richard Stanton have set up a petition demanding action. The couple were among those whose baby died because of failings within Shrewsbury and Telford NHS Trust. They revealed they have yet to receive a reply to a letter that they sent to the Health Secretary, Steve Barclay. Parents with similar experiences in other parts of the country today launched a Maternity Safety Alliance campaign. It has also sent the Health Secretary, Steve Barclay, a letter outlining its aims. The letter says fundamental reform is needed. Over and over again, we hear lessons will be learned, and yet those same failings continue. Rhiannon Davis, Richard Stanton, Kayleigh and Colin Griffiths, whose daughters died due to failings at Shrewsbury and Telford, wrote to Steve Barclay in September, calling for a national inquiry. But Emily Davis said they have yet to receive a reply. They have launched a petition calling for an inquiry on change.org, saying they want a review that leaves no stone unturned. Rhiannon Davis and Richard Stanton began campaigning after their baby Kate died following delays transferring her from Ludlow Community Hospital to a doctor-led maternity unit in March of 2009. Mr. and Mrs. Griffiths' daughter, Pippa, died from a Group B streptococcus infection just a day after being born at home in Middle Shropshire in 2016.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, avoiding shirk through obedience. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are two types of shirk, which is polytheism. The first one is shirk-e-jali, which is open shirk, open polytheism. The second one is shirk-e-khafi, which is hidden or concealed polytheism. Today we will discuss shirk through obedience. When one obeys other than Allah and disobeys Allah, one falls into the shirk, polytheism through obedience. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 19, verse number 81 and 82, "And they have taken gods besides Allah, that they should be to them a source of strength. By no means. They shall soon deny their worshipping them, and they shall be adversaries to them." When is it that Allah is trying to, say all this, that you just listened to in the verse, what is he trying to convey to us? When he says, for instance, taken gods besides Allah. Well, if we consider anything to be a source of strength or might independent from Allah, we have committed a hidden shirk. Sometimes in our minds, we do confess, we do acknowledge that Allah is the supreme authority. But when it comes to others, non-Allah actors, we somehow believe that they are also in charge in different areas. They have authorities in different areas, and more importantly, that authority is independent of Allah. For example, they have like this, their own domain, their own reign. And this is where shirk begins. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing avoiding shirk through obedience. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 9, verse number 31, they have taken their learned men and their monks for lords besides Allah. So have they taken the Messiah, son of Mary, although they were commanded to worship only one God? There is no deity but He. He is far above whatever they set up as his partners. This is chapter 9, verse number 31. Have you not seen those who submit to their so-called spiritual masters while they turn a blind eye towards the commands of Allah? Unfortunately, we live in a type of world where people have gurus and they have their masters, you know, sometimes spiritual masters, other times, you know, other councils. Unfortunately, human beings sometimes, and even Muslims, sometimes they fall in this trap of following their gurus, their masters, while they know that their guru and master is saying something which is contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. So if you submit to this person, this other monk, for instance, right, or any learned man that you're impressed by, while you're turning your back on the direct commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a form of shirk. It is a form of polytheism. Have we not seen those who would worship Messiah, for instance, the son of Mary, Hazrat Isa? Have we not seen those who have, you know, taken Prophet Isa as their Lord? You know, Allah said in the Holy Quran, worship me as there is no God but Allah, right? But unfortunately, sometimes we get derailed and we start worshiping someone other than Allah. Even if it's a prophet of Allah, it is something not allowed in Islam and in the religion of Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran
while shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabic English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
While U.S. inflation has moderated from a year ago, prices remain high across many categories, meaning households aren't feeling much relief. Since February of 2020, the cost of food at home is up more than 24%. Overall, the purchasing power of a U.S. dollar is just one-third of what it used to be 40 years ago. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Bloomberg News Agency has covered this story and tells us more. A Harris poll for Bloomberg News Agency found despite claiming growth and a purported resilient job market, more middle-class Americans are worried about the state of the economy than a year ago. The rapid increase in interest rates deployed by the U.S. Federal Reserve to rein in inflation are now expected to remain higher for longer. In the Harris poll, the latest in a series taken for Bloomberg News Agency over the past year, 57% of middle-class respondents said higher borrowing costs were having a negative impact on their household finances. Some 44% said they were stressed about the economy, up from 40% a year ago and 39% in March of this year. If the economic story for much of the past 2 years has been the impact of inflation that hit a 40-year high in 2022, a growing part of the pain for U.S. households is the side effects of the U.S. Federal Reserve's medicine. According to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, on credit cards alone, U.S. consumers paid a record $130 billion in interest payments and fees last year. The U.S. economy grew at a 4.9% annual rate in the quarter ending 30th of September, which means the U.S. Federal Reserve may hike interest rates further if that rapid growth doesn't slow as expected and continues to feed inflation. Meanwhile, middle-class consumers see a relentless grind. Rebecca Acuna, a 28-year-old, estimates she's spending $200 more per month on groceries than she did a few years ago and is shouldering a higher utility bill after her provider hiked up prices. The soaring cost of borrowing is deterring her from replacing the car she's been driving for the past 8 years. Rebecca Acuna, a paralegal living in Indianapolis, said, I could not imagine trying to finance a car with today's interest rates. I'm going to drive my car until the wheels fall off. Among the middle-class people surveyed by the Harris Poll, 61% said their personal financial situation was worse or unchanged from a year ago. Only 12% said they were in a much better circumstance. When asked about the year ahead, just 33% said they expected their own finances to improve. While that was more than the 19% who expect things to get worse, it still points to an electorate that isn't particularly optimistic about pocketbook issues. That presents a major hurdle for President Joe Biden, who fancies himself a champion of the middle class and has been building his case for re-election around the Bidenomics agenda designed to bolster the group he calls the backbone of the country. Tiffany Bond, a 47-year-old family law attorney in Rangeley, Maine, said, "I don't think anyone in office on a state or federal level has any concept of how stressful it is to manage a budget these days." She added, "I think what's happening with interest rates, it can cool the economy, but it really hurts people in the bottom half financially." The opinion poll of 4,166 Americans, including 1,478 middle-class adults, found that three-quarters of the latter group said they were paying more and more for goods and services, while more than two-thirds said higher prices for household essentials like groceries, insurance, and rent or mortgage payments were hurting them. Indeed, while inflation has moderated from a year ago, prices remain high across many categories, meaning American households aren't feeling much relief. Since February of 2020, the cost of food at home is up more than 24%. Overall, the purchasing power of the US dollar is just one-third of what it used to be about 40 years ago. John Gerzema, chief executive officer of the Harris Poll, said, "Economists aren't sitting at kitchen tables with middle-class America. For most, their paychecks are still chasing their bills, and they feel they're falling further and further behind." The website of Fox Business Channel has also covered the same story and tells us more. A slim majority of middle-class Americans surveyed by a recent opinion poll said their wages have been keeping up or exceeding rising household bills. But 63% also said that stagnant wages were hurting their finances. And 42% said their costs were rising faster than their wages. Mary Jacob, a 46-year-old teacher, said she is constantly stressed about her finances, prompting her to resort to frugal tactics like buying groceries in bulk and purchasing furniture on clearance. Mary Jacob said, "If the economy was better, I would put more things on credit, but I'm going back to my more economical choices. My kids are like, 'Soup for a fourth day, Mum? Really?'" When asked what emotions they felt when thinking about the US economy, stress was easily the most selected choice among middle-class respondents. Some of the pessimism appeared to break on partisan and generational lines. About half of middle-class Republicans and independents said they were stressed about the economy, while about one-third of Democrats said they were stressed as well. Roughly 60% of millennials and Democrats said the U.S. economy is working for them, compared to around 30% of baby boomers and Republicans. Tom Maley, a retired optometrist living in Ohio, is one Republican voter who claims he's spending more freely than a year ago. He saw the cross-currents of the current economic moment when one of his sons recently moved from Maryland to Ohio for a better-paying job. Tom Maley, 73 years old, said, "The good news is he got promoted. The bad news is he got relocated with a higher mortgage rate." Maley says his two main concerns for U.S. economy right now are the geopolitics playing out in wars in Ukraine and West Asia, and the higher interest rates that mean cars and housing are basically unaffordable for the middle class. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very informative and a very eye-opening hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about acting upon one's own opinion in religious matters. Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following: action is unacceptable when based on any one of three things. The first is polytheism, the second is infidelity, and the third is one's own opinion. Just to give a little context to this hadith and what it signifies, is what it means and what do we mean by acting on one's own opinion here? What we mean is this, in this hadith, in the context of this hadith, is foregoing, you know, the instructions and the advice that the Book of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam they give us with regards to certain matters, certain issues. Foregoing that and coming to a conclusion regarding that issue based on one's own faculties of reason, right? In such a way that it is contrary to, you know, what the Book of God and the Sunnah of the Prophet says. And for example, by way of example, let's give an example here to kind of clarify what we mean here. Let's say that a person, you know, he has to pay khums, or he has to, it's obligatory, it has become obligatory on him to pay khums. And which is one of the monetary and economic obligations that every Muslim must perform, which is a specific form of charity, you know, required under certain specific circumstances. Now, let's say that this person, he says that, well, he starts thinking about it, and he says, well, I don't think that it's specifically necessary for me to pay this specific amount, you know, in order for me to be benevolent and charitous, you know, to the poor. I can, you know, give, let's say, less than 1/5, or, you know, to the poor, and still be, you know, a generous person. I don't see the necessity of doing this. Or, like, for example, another example would be hijab. Let's say that somebody says that, well, you know, today hijab is not a requirement, you know, for women. It's not necessary for them to, you know, to wear the hijab. Why? Because, for example, you know, I can be uncovered and still, you know, it wouldn't cause, you know, transgressions. It wouldn't lead, you know, men to look at me. I can dress modestly, you know, not wear makeup, and men will not look at me. The whole purpose of hijab is this, so I can do the same thing, you know, just by dressing modestly. So these are like kind of, we hear a lot of this kind of reasoning, you know, from a lot of people. When they don't want to follow the orders of Allah, this is what we're talking about here in this case. And in continuation, the Imam replied, "It is when you leave the book of Allah and the practice of His Prophet and act upon your own opinions." Right? This is what is unacceptable according to this hadith. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at acting upon one's own opinion in religious matters. In the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Israel's massacre of Palestinians continue. The latest figure is almost 9,000 murdered, including some 3,700 children and 2,200 women. Iran's leader has said that Muslim governments must insist on an immediate end to the crimes and also to block oil exports to the Zionist regime, while the Iranian foreign minister has said that Israel and the U.S. will have to prepare for a harsh response if the Gaza bloodshed continues. More and more, this war is coming at a cost for Tel Aviv. While Israel conducts its ground operations inside of Gaza, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is taking a beating for not caring enough for the captives.